Other banks go out of their way to make redeeming credit card rewards needlessly complicated, like how they require minimums or force you to use your rewards before reaching some arbitrary expiration date. But Discover isn't like that. With Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount, at any time, so you'll never have to jump through hoops. Unless you're like a trapezist, then by all means, go right ahead. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this August 5th, 2022. Right, 2022, right, okay.
That's right.
That was Ron that said that's right. You did it very well, too.
Yeah, just in time.
Okay, he's part of our team here and a contributor, Ron Ritz. But on the board tonight are, well, our producer is none other than, well, who is it? Craig. I know, it's Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
All righty, and way out yonder in Texas, we have our Friday night co-host for a long, long time co-host, none other than Chaplain John McTurnan.
I knew you couldn't forget me, Pastor. I knew it.
I can never forget you, John.
Yeah. God bless you and all the listeners.
All righty. Now, we have a special guest tonight running for, well, he's a gubernatorial candidate here in Ohio, running for governor as an independent. And, of course, we know the Democrats and the Republicans have got a monopoly. They make it so difficult for an independent. But God has ways around that, and that is Neil Peterson. Hey, Neil.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. Thanks for having me on tonight. What a privilege and honor to be here.
It's good to have you.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to have you back, but, all week we've been, especially today, all the little gadgets, everything that could go wrong, but all the gadgetry and stuff has gone wrong. And so what we're going to do is this. Neil, we're going to ask you to open us in prayer and just ask the good Lord to host this radio program for us. Ask the good Lord to host this radio program and so that we can come against, because we know the devil's in the details and and the devil's in the equipment, too. So go ahead, if you could.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy in our time of need. And we thank you that you are so much, and you are a comforter, our deliverer, and our Savior. And right now, Father, as the world is in turmoil, we know that you are not. You are our refuge and strength. And we ask that you would guide our conversation, that you would lead us in all truth, as you have already declared in your word. And we thank you that where we expose light, where we bring light, darkness must flee. And we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much. You know, we're seeing the days we're living in as the warfare gets deeper and deeper. We know that they're going after Coach Dave Dobenmeyer now. From what I understand, they've built a dossier against Dave. And then, of course, you see they're going after Alex Jones. They're trying to shut him up. They're trying to silence him, get him off the air. And, you know, MoveOn.org has been for years trying to get me off the air. We're still here. But folks out there, it's going to get, as we get closer and closer to November, they're going to do everything the opposition, you can bet on it, that they can to stop the election. They do not want election in November. It's going to be much harder to cheat, even though in the past primaries we've seen all kinds of things that's happening. And Neil, we'll have you talk a little bit about that. But first, let's get into our scripture. And tonight we're in Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. And here, we'll just read. John, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
Okay. All right. Do you have your computerized Bible with you?
You mean the King James? Yes, I have it.
Do you have it in an actual book, or do you have the computer?
Well, I can print it out. Would that count as a book, then?
All right, there you go. Well, let's go.
Now, Pastor Ernie, before we start, I've got to say what I did today online.
Go ahead.
Okay. I went to the Baptist Bible College in Houston, Texas. And it's really, I mean, it is, they have a lot of nice Bibles going back into history. But we got to the Gutenberg printing press, and they had a replica of it, and they showed us how they made them, and how it was very, very interesting. And then they had the original King James. So I was thinking of you, because you probably would have stayed with the scrolls rather than Gutenberg's printing press.
Well, Gutenberg didn't have any computers on his press, did he?
I think he had one.
No, he didn't, and so he anyways, didn't because...
Because I teased you about you wouldn't have switched from scrolls to the book form like Gutenberg because you attacked me about using the electronic Bibles. So anyways, I did see an exact replica of the Gutenberg printing press.
Alrighty, well, he didn't have a computer, and the apostles didn't have a computer because computers are evil, and everyone that likes computers was born naked, every single one. There you
okay.
go.
Want me to read verse 16?
Yeah, start with 16 and read it all the way through verse 24.
This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Man, got to catch my breath, Pastor Ernie, to keep on with the works of the flesh. Envying,
yeah.
Murder, drunkenness, revilings, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified, the flesh with the affections and lusts.
All righty. So if we say this, Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me ask you this. Can you sometimes confuse the walk of the Spirit with your own with your own feelings? In other words, your personal feelings. Can your personal feelings be contrary to what the Bible says about walking in the Spirit?
Well, our own feelings, Pastor Ernie, with the flesh and lusts, and the feelings, we'll say the good, this good feeling it gives. Yeah, I think that it could supersede real love, you know, Pastor Ernie, and things like that. It's deception.
Okay.
Deception by facts. The Bible warns about the deception of sin.
So, Pastor Neil, what do you think? I mean, do you see that too confusing? Sometimes we confuse our own personal feelings with the leading of the Spirit.
Yeah, I think we wrestle with the flesh suit daily, and this is why the prescription daily is death to the flesh. It's this wondrous thing that the Lord put us in this sense of, you know, we have a spirit and a soul and a body. But as it relates, when we're led with this flesh, we will begin to see that the spiritual senses, the spirit that's made alive in Christ, will be subdued. And the prescription is always death upon the cross. And that is the reality of our Christian faith walk, is we have to learn how to put our flesh into submission. Because if we feed it, it is certainly going to become alive evermore. And so we can get those mixed up every single day and think what we're doing is right. And when we really come under the confines of walking in the Spirit, that is when the Lord will begin to show us that we were actually carnal and being flesh-natured in some of our decisions and actions.
So when the Apostle Paul refers to us over in Romans chapter 7, when he talks about the Spirit versus the old man versus the new man, our new old nature, is he talking about being led by the Spirit and with the two different natures, the Holy Spirit within us, and then the inclinations of, our own, within the flesh, evil inclinations that we have with us. So is that the same thing, the new man and the old man?
If I understand you, Pastor Ernie, yes. We have, it's like a dogfight in us until we mature in the Lord. And you've got the old man and yet the new man, and that old man can be really strong. And wants to keep us going down the path we did before coming to Christ. Does that answer what your question is?
Neil, you just need to jump into. I should have told you whenever, you know, just jump into conversation here if you want to get into it.
Okay, you've got. I was just waiting to be called upon, so just let me know.
And so here now, when we're talking about what we're seeing today. The more that you walk in the Spirit, the more that you will be prompted to be led by the Spirit. I mean, right? I mean, that's what the Paul says. Whatever nature we feed the most, it'll become the strongest one. And we're to starve the old man. We're to starve the inclinations of the flesh. And so, but today, what is being taught? The leading of the Spirit in the public, in society. Or are we being taught the inclinations of the flesh today?
Well, to just for the juxtaposition here, you know, Romans, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And one of the characteristics and the distinctions that we as believers, as we should be bearing the fruit of those walking in the Spirit, is that our decisions are not flesh and nature, but you're exactly right. There is another gospel, if I understand where you're headed, Pastor Ernie. There's another gospel, and certainly there is another Holy Spirit that is being taught that actually is feeding the flesh. You know, a lot of times I think the characteristics that could quickly define it as a pastor is when you continually hear words that, feed that you, it's about you, and it feeds that your best life now, and it feeds that everything is about you-centered and not Christ-centered, I think that's a litmus test that could be actually not something that's of the Spirit or of the Logos. That's actually something that's soulish in nature. You know, because we love to be at the center of all conversations. The soul does. The soul man wants to be at the center of our imagination. And when it's not Christ-centered, it's probably not Spirit-led. It succinctly. I know that's pretty broadly characteristic, but that's a general litmus test for me anyway.
So let me ask you, both of you, or all three of you guys here, when I was in public school, especially going back, let's just say, even into junior high, going into high school, but especially in junior high school, every morning we'd be led in prayer. We'd open in prayer. First would be one would come from the principal's office over the loudspeaker, and then when you would go to your homeroom, that homeroom teacher would open the class in a prayer, okay? And so would you say that those teachers at that point, as they prayed to God for the blessings of the children, were being led by the Spirit?
I would say yes, Pastor Ernie. Sure.
Okay, so let me ask you today. Today, if you go to the public school system, do you think that those teachers are being led by the Spirit or by the flesh?
Well, I have kids in the public school system, and remember, those walking in the flesh and led by the flesh still may think that their intentions are noble, but that is not the litmus test of whether they're Spirit-led. And so unequivocally, the answer is no. They're not being led of the Spirit, because if they were being led of the Spirit, they would not bow down to the decisions that man has made up, that we cannot honor God and be ashamed of the Lord our God in the public school system. And so the answer is unequivocally no.
Okay, so would you say this is now the works of the flesh are manifest, and which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings of such the like, which I tell you before, I also have told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So now, in the public school system, is abortion promoted when it comes down to the life? Is life or is abortion promoted?
I'll jump in there, but I just, John, you jump in there whenever. I would
right
say,
now, right now I'm coughing, Pastor Ernie, so I'm on mute.
Okay.
I would say, Pastor Ernie, I don't know if the right word would be promoted. I think it's much more coy, but it's certainly the agenda is promoted. And so I would say the agenda of you do what's best for you. You live your life. You notice the center of this, you.
Yeah.
You need to, fulfill your dreams. And it's your body. And so the messaging, being not ignorant of Satan's schemes, the scheme here is to make it about you. And so it's about what you may miss out if you brought a child in this world. You should be able to have a choice. And so I think the messaging, absolutely, you and I both know, is to be one of pro-death, right? But I think it's much more coy in nature. So that way, by the time, you know, the adolescent moves into adulthood, they truly believe that if they got pregnant, not just the female, not just the woman, the man that impregnated the woman, they both are in agreement that, you know, it's just part of their choice. And so, yeah, this is part of Satan's programming, is they have to do this and indoctrinate very early.
Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but in the blue states, the boys in the public school can get pregnant now, too.
Oh, can they?
Yeah, that's what they're being taught. So when we talk about that abortion, that would be murder. That would be a part of the works of the flesh, would be murder. And, of course, we know abortion is murder. What about variants? What about CRT, critical race theory? Would we call that variance? You know, the word variance means, you know, discord, stirring up discord. Would you say that that would be variance?
Yes, I would say, you know, the quarreling and the contention and the strife that is automatically, that's automatically the senses erupt in that, those emotions, right, when there's that quarrel and strife. Yes, this is absolutely a work of the flesh with critical race theory and even social emotional learning. If you notice, they're actually like dipping a bucket into the well to bring out that variance or to bring out that strife. They're looking for it. And so that's part of this programming. Is it's one thing when you have the emotion. It's another thing when the system itself is trying to stir up that emotion, capitalize on that emotion, and bring it to the forefront. So it's very complicit and explicit, and it is absolutely an abomination that brings this works of the flesh continually to the front.
Okay, so now here, when we talk about also seditions, you know, that the word sedition actually means dissensions. Seditions means to being a dissenter. And, of course, when we know that today they charge you with sedition, it's not just they've changed the definition, okay? And people that are dissenters today, like Coach Dave, like myself and that, and like those on January 6th, they were charged with sedition. And, of course, the real criminals are the ones that were charging the Patriots. And so, Neil, you were there yourself, weren't you?
I sure was.
And so, but have they charged you with anything yet?
No, I've had the FBI come to my house and supposedly, you know, and I was there with my wife, my mother-in-law, my daughter, her best friend, and I was not there with the group, and so I had a pretty low profile. But even then, they came. So I can't imagine, you know, they originally said, I never went inside, but they still said they could charge me with trespassing. But very quickly, and John, again, I'm just going to be quiet here for a moment once you're ready to jump back in. But let me say this, Pastor Ernie. Sedition, the real lawlessness, right, is actually those who are breaking God's law. And so when we see, you know, not only J6, but we see the nature of COVID, the pandemic, the real discord and dissension is actually when the government and those within the government, because remember, there's good actors as well. There's good people in the government. They're not all bad. But those that are explicit, and they're the ones that are actually being seditious in nature. And I think that's the real trap. The J6, that's all a front to actually to let the people say, look, these are the bad guys, when it's really exactly as you said it. The ones that are saying the J6 people are the bad guys, They're the actual ones that are the bad guys. And so it's all it's like that game that you have to follow where the acorn is under the cup. It's all sleight of hand. It's meant to bring confusion and then to ultimately pass the buck and the blame and keep your eye moving away from the trick. And so, yes, the seditions are those who are criminally responsible for the deterioration and breakdown of lawlessness, getting God's law out of our country.
Okay. If I were king today, I would charge everyone involved from Nancy Pelosi down, that dirty cop that shot Miss Babbitt in the face and killed her, to that racist black female cop, that racist full of hate that beat an innocent woman to death with her club, as we watched it, okay, and to all of the FBI renegade agents that were involved in this false flag operation, if I were king, I would charge them all with treason against America and sedition. Would I be justified in doing that?
Well, you didn't go far enough, Pastor Ernie. You should throw murder in also.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, absolutely. Okay. So what do you both of you think? Would I be justified in charging them for murder and treason?
Well, yes, Pastor Ernie. I mean, the FBI actually set this up. They had undercover operatives in there. I guess you call them agent provocateurs. The National Guard was, Trump requested the National Guard. That was turned, they didn't bring the National Guard. It was turned down. Doors were opened to let the people in. I mean, the list goes on and on and on with what they did. And so we have a criminal element within the government that set up a false flag. With their agent provocateurs is the best way to explain what they did.
Okay.
Yeah, they should be charged. Absolutely.
We have here, we sent out about 300, 2,000 mules. We sent out about 300, 2,000 mules, okay, looking at the election fraud. And their goal was to get 2 million. Their goal was to get 2 million out. Well, they passed the goal. They got 20 million. 20 million have been sold. Okay, we also just watched that film recently, January 6th, the truth, and the truth is completely the opposite, complete and total opposite of what you see on NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox News. Fox News, they have left us. I no longer consider them conservative at all. Maybe Tucker Carlson, Hannity, but for the most part, Fox News has betrayed us also. I feel that they betrayed me as an American because of, especially Bret Baier. But anyhow, we're going to stop it right there because we're up against the break. Here is a woman that was a nurse. And this woman was one of those that I've run into who tried to promote and push and explain to you why you should take the killer jab, the poisonous poke, so that that's your duty to take that so you won't infect others. Well, you know what? She's kind of had a change of heart. So go ahead and play that clip, would you, Craig?
I was asked to reply to a comment. What do I think of people who refuse the vaccine, the COVID vaccine? I've been hurt by the Pfizer vaccine. I have CIDP, chronic inflammation demyelination polyneuropathy. It's changed my life completely. If I had to do it all over again, I would have never got the vaccine. I do work in healthcare, so I do work with patients. So where I work, we were told, you know, if you get the vaccine, you'll save lives, you won't get sick, you won't die. The media was saying the same thing. So I believed it. my friends that didn't get the vaccine, I thought, how could you not get it? You're going to go home. What if you spread it? What if you have it, you don't know it, and you give it to your family members? The worst case scenarios were playing out in my head because of what I was seeing inside the facility. We would have cookouts and things like that with my friends. I had a lot of friends that are unvaccinated and they still aren't vaccinated. We'd have cookouts, and at first I was scared to go there because I thought, oh my gosh, what if they're spreading COVID? It was like the dumbest thing I've ever thought of now that I think of it. And once I started hanging out with them and things, they weren't getting sick. And the ones that did get sick, they got COVID lightly. They were back on their way. I had already gotten my vaccine. I had already started having issues and seeing a neurologist. I totally have changed my mind. They were the smart ones. They were the ones that didn't wear the masks. They were the ones that hung around each other and never caught it, never spread it. Some of the ones did get vaccinated because of their jobs. But the ones that aren't, I totally commend you, and I wish I was one of you. I think very highly of you. And I'm upset with myself. No job is worth it. No job. So there's my answer.
Here, winner of death 2.0, Dr. Fauci has threatened 70% of Americans. Okay. And in this article, this is an article by Abby Leibing, and she said that Dr. Fauci has once again sounded a warning bell over COVID-19, saying in an interview on Tuesday that those who are not up to date on vaccines will get into big trouble this fall and winter. And if they get vaccinated, they didn't get boost, they will be getting into trouble too, Fauci told a Los Angeles radio station, KNX AM. Basically, the bottom line says this. Fauci is saying, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, of July 1st, 227.8 million Americans had not received a series of shots or had not gotten a booster dose. That is about 70% of the population. Now, what have you been hearing? We've been hearing 90% of the people have been vaxxed. 80%, most of you've been hearing all of these, but according to this Kaiser Family Foundation, 70% of the people in this country, 227.8 million have not received the poisonous poke. Is that totally contrary to what we've been hearing at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, and all the others? Somebody say something.
It is concerning. You can't believe anything they say, because if they say, oh, there's 250 million got the shot, you don't believe that high number. And so they've lied so much. They've distorted so much. They have, it goes on and on and on. It isn't like a lie here, distortion here. It goes on and on and on and on. So I don't pay any attention whatsoever, Pastor. And then if you just wait 6 months, a year, a year and a half later, the truth will come out. It is coming out, Pastor. The truth is coming out.
Well, we also have to see that Joe Biden, now I believe this is the sixth time that he's contracted COVID. And there is such a level of spiritual blindness that we have to pray earnestly that the Lord would open up the eyes of the blind and keep our eyes open so that we may see. Because here we have all of the propagators of the lies of masks and vax and all of the other tools and the fear propaganda that's being used. But yet these jokers keep contracting the vaccine, keep contracting the COVID-19 over and over and over again. And so one has to ask, as I'm beginning to see, and Pastor Ernie, I don't know what it's like over there on your side of the state, but I'm seeing people voluntarily begin to put the mask back on all over. And so the programming has worked. And now we see Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Now it's requiring masks. I see selective corporations now requiring the mask. At what point do we see that it never worked? And so there is such a level of deception. Lies, lies, lies. And it's one thing, masks are bad enough, but this vaccine is wreaking havoc. Whether or not you believe it's part of the mark of the beast, is it a lead up to the mark of the beast, is it the mark of the beast? These are all questions that we certainly have to at least ask this. As ministers of the gospel, how much are we warning our people at the minimum to be, here it is, be not deceived? What did Eve say in the garden? The serpent what?
Beguiled me.
So she was deceived. She was deceived in the presence of the Lord. Could it be that we as believers, we love the Lord? That could we still be deceived? And just like this woman in that interview, great interview, you know what she kept, what the moral, if she had to encapsulate that, she was deceived. She was deceived. So we have to be careful. We have to be mindful. We have to be vigilant. We have to be guarded. We have to be ready. Lord, keep us in that hour. In that moment in Gethsemane, when the serpent is moving around, that we do not let our defenses down, and that we do not sleep when the Lord asks us to even tarry 1 hour.
Absolutely, one of the things that you, of course, you know this here. You know, I preach on witches, wizards, and warlocks, and you know, sorcerers are people. When the Bible talks about pharmakia, okay, that is sorcery, and it actually means to poison. The word means to poison, all right? And so here, big pharma or pharmakia is poisoning people all over the country. You know, every one of these shots, whether it kills them or not, they're still being poisoned with these things. And so this coming Sunday, we have a class that we teach before the evening service, and it's called The Bible and Current Events. So we show you how the Bible, you know, refers to things that are happening today. And this week, we're going to be playing a clip here in the second hour, and it's called Little Ones. And we're going to be showing the entire thing there. But we're also going to be playing a clip on showing you and really in depth, it's an hour movie, just what is behind, what is really behind all of these, this big pharma, the money and the killing and what has taken place. And there's about 10 doctors that are actual real doctors, and they're telling the truth. They're flat out telling the truth in this film. And so that's this Sunday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church from 4 to 6, from 4 to 6 p.m. Now, we might even go past that. We may, instead of, because of the urgency of what's happening in the times, because you're right, Neil, they're trying to bring it back. They're trying to start pushing it back. And one of the things that we do is when you see people that are wearing these masks and they look at you like you should be wearing a mask. If it's a woman, just say, listen, I know you're wearing that mask because you have a mustache. If it's a man, just tell him, I know you're wearing that because you're wearing lipstick. And usually they won't say anything else. They'll just let it go, right? We actually was in the post office, and we were in there, and this woman who was very rude, she turned on us, and that's what she did. She Yelt, you ought to be wearing masks. You're spreading germs. And I says, you're just wearing that because you have a mustache and we all know it. And you know what she did? She just looked at me and had a strange look on her face and never said another word, turned around and walked out the door. And silence is golden at times, you know, the old silence.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Well, you know, I think at this point, 2 years into this ruse, we got to have a little fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have to realize that, and I'll tell you, Pastor Ernie, something I've struggled with, and I'm just going to tell your listeners on air, I've had to really ask, and John, I don't know where you're at with this, I've had to ask the Lord for forgiveness and patience because I often feel angry at times when I see these people wearing masks. And then I have to say, you know what, Lord? Thank you that you opened up my eyes, that I too was not deceived. And so we have to be humble. We have to be thankful that we're not part of the masses under the mind control of darkness, especially when these young kids are wearing masks. And we see that it's because mom and dad fell right into Satan's plan. And what we have to pray is that the Lord opens up their parents' eyes and that they're released, because you know what's controlling them? It's fear. Fear is the primary weapon that's controlling them. And so we do not have the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And that is the difference between someone, going back to Galatians 5, walking in the spirit that's not controlled by fear, and someone walking in the flesh that they have been given over to fear.
Well, you're absolutely right. Everything you just said is true. But the reality is this, you know, those masks do no good. You know, here's the interesting thing. We had one of the doctors in our congregation died, and he had nobody, and he left everything, all of it, to the church and me. You know, we had no room. And so what did we do? We had boxes of these masks that he had, you know. And on the box, it tells you right on the box, this mask will not stop the spread of any virus. It tells you right on the box, okay? And so, but it does say it's good up to 5 splashes of blood. And I thought that was interesting. So I asked 2 doctors that I know, how do you measure a splash of blood? And they said, well we don't know, you know. But anyhow, there you go. Yeah, it tells you right on the box, and that's the very masks that they're handing out to everybody. Now, that has caused a lot of problems. Those masks have caused a lot of infections, especially with children, okay? Because these doctors will tell you, in fact, they'll tell you, if you're wearing that mask, you should change it every 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes. How many do you think change it every 20 minutes?
Wow.
They don't. So, anyhow, let's switch over a little bit. Tell us, okay, you're running for governor of Ohio, and as governor of Ohio, Neil, we know in most cases today there's a big difference between what's lawful and what's legal. So today, if you're running as government, do you hold to what is lawful, right from God's word, the Bible, or as a governor, would you promote what is legal?
Well, let me answer this question with action. One of the primary reasons that the Lord called me, that he used to call me into this, was the exact subject at hand. And as a minister that I was called to abandon every other objective in my life other than the soul-winning gospel, that I laid down business, I laid down my personal aspirations to fulfill the calling of my life, which was giving the gospel freely I've received, freely I was going to give. But when we begin to see that the pandemic and the shutting down of businesses and the forceful takeover of humanity, and we begin to see fear, and we begin to see all of Satan's earmarks all over the processes to completely destroy our economy, these were the very things that you mentioned. They were lawful, right? And I may have mixed up your terminology. They were legal, but they were not lawful. And so it goes back to the lawlessness. And so absolutely, I will continue to stand on the highest law of the land, which is the Word of God. So if you remember, yes, constitutionally is what's most important as it relates to America. But when you're sworn into office, you're not putting your hand on the Constitution, are you? You're putting your hand on the Word of God, the Bible. The highest legal law that we have is the Word. And so that is what governs my life. That is what, for long periods of time, has governed not our perfect nation, but the best nation the world has ever seen, is the Constitution that the Lord has given us has been set forth from a complete blueprint from the Word of God. And we cannot be ashamed of it. We should not be afraid to talk about it, and we should not be afraid to have it in our courthouses and in our state houses, in our public schools, and everywhere else that used to see that God was in the center of everything that we did, and we were never ashamed of it. Until President Obama, you know what he said? We're no longer a Christian nation. Well, out of the mouth comes life and death. Those are death-filled words. Until we bring God back at the center is when we're going to see true repentance come back into our land, that we could stand in righteousness and we could stand before our living God once again and understand that it's because of the Lord God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the reason that we are blessed as a nation. When we learn that and we begin to come back to that and repent for our wicked ways, then the Lord's blessing will return back to our country, and only then.
So then you don't agree with Jerry Nadler at all when he said that God has no voice in Congress.
I adamantly disagree with that. I don't know how you can be a lawmaker and repudiate any of the principles, even if you're not a Christian, even the principles that are drawn out of the Word of God. I mean, you have to be ignorant. You have to be blinded. You have to be in contempt.
Now, Jimmy Carter, when he became president, said that he was a Christian, he was born again Christian, and that yes, according to the Bible, abortion is murder, but his constituents, the people that elected him, expected him to keep it legal, and so that's what he had to do. What would you say? Would you be the type of a governor, when Carter was governor, would you be more of a Ron DeSantis or a Jimmy Carter type governor?
Well, I'm going to contrast those two. So when you are elected as a governor, you are not there as a state representative, one that simply hears the voice of the people and then simply runs back. You were voted on because of your platform. So he would have already been known if his platform was pro-life and that abortion was murder. Then you don't change because it now isn't popular, or because part of your constituent is not going to agree with it. You hold true to your leadership capacity, that these are your convictions, the people knew they were your convictions, and that's how you're going to continue to lead. So unequivocally, a Ron DeSantis is one that says, I'm going to make these decisions because that's what I've been entrusted to do, is not to go ask you now. You voted for me. You know what I stand for. And I'm going to make tough decisions even when it's not popular. I've said this, Pastor Ernie, If everybody likes you, you're lying to somebody. And so, you know, these are moments that, you know, I think we really need, and this is why it's so important that we have third-party candidates, that we have grassroots independent candidates. We have candidates that are not part of the control grid. Anybody is susceptible to failure. Anybody is susceptible to, you know, things that can happen. But when you've been battle-tested, when the Lord has brought you through trials and fires of life, it doesn't mean he's not going to bring you through more. But the first thing that we have to understand is that when, in my case, when I picked up the cross that the Lord set before me, there has to be an uncompromise as it relates to, I'm not running to win a popularity contest. I'm running to bring righteousness back into our state. I'm running because that we have found that there is a complete breakdown and there's complete corruption within the political control grid. I'm running because the church in its very existence is under threat. I'm running right now because the average person in Ohio has felt the burden of undue government control and tyranny. These are some of the reasons that we're running. Well, if you notice, the political system is the control mechanisms and the very apparatus that the two-party system uses to clamp down its authoritative control upon society. So the only thing that could come against this power structure right now is one thing, more powerful than all their money, Pastor Ernie, more powerful than all of their power. It is the Spirit of the living God. And so if we want real change, and I'm talking to Christians, you're on a Christian program. If we want real change, it takes real Christians that are washed by the blood of the Lamb, that have been anointed by the Lord, not perfect men, because you're not going to find them, but they've been anointed by the Lord, and they're fearless, and they're running into the fight, and they said, if God is for me, who can be against me? And that's where I'm at. I've got nothing to lose. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We have to understand right now we are in the largest and the biggest and the most ferocious war we've ever seen. It's a spiritual war. So until we understand that we need to start electing people, and I'm talking to Christians, that understand the power of walking in the Spirit, we're never going to see change.
All right, so if we go, let's just say, over to 1 Samuel chapter 8, or if we go to Deuteronomy, I believe it is Deuteronomy 17, we see, it tells you the kind of person that we are to vote for. Let me just read guidelines for a king or a president, all right? This would apply to a governor, too. It says here that I will set a king over like as in the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise setting a king over him whom the Lord thy God shall choose from one among the brother. In other words, so as a Christian, we are only to vote for other Christians. That's what the scripture tells very clearly. He goes on to say it shall be when you setteth upon the throne of the kingdom that he shall write him a copy of the law in this book, of that which is before the priests and the Levites. In other words, you know, we don't really have to write a copy. We have the King James Bible right here. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this. Got a lot more to come. Don't go away. Got a lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. The word Cleveland whatsrightwhatsleftministries.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.